Well, good morning and welcome to the sixth edition of Worship Online with Christ Community Church. We're here, we're all over the place worshiping together, but we're involved in a study of the Sermon on the Mount together, and we're on our 16th lesson in the Sermon on the Mount series, and it's the sixth one we've done online. Last week, Jeremy preached about the instructions not to judge others. That was very helpful. And today, as you've just heard read, we're going to talk about what it is to ask, to seek, and to knock. Those three things: ask, seek, and knock. First, I want to say a couple of things that this sermon is not about. First of all, it's not a sermon about prayer in general, even though these verses do give some helpful information about what prayer is. This is not a sermon about prayer in general. This sermon is not an introduction to a large section of Bible teachings and Bible verses about prayer. You know how it is when you're doing a study on a topic and you read all the verses in the Bible on that topic. And then from reading all the verses on that topic, you discern what is the message that God has for us today. And topics like forgiveness, or topics like justice, or spiritual warfare, or the Holy Spirit, topics like that. This sermon, not going to be like that. Even though we're going to talk about prayer, this is not a sermon just about prayer in general. Ask, seek, knock. If you're not careful, this would sort of sound like a list that you would give Santa Claus at Christmas time. You'd say, "Dear God, this is what I want." And you'd give him the list, and you'd say, "And you said if I asked, you'd give it." Then there's a background noise rising up in your mind, and you hear a voice say, "Your father knows you need all that stuff, but what you need to do is seek first the kingdom of God." Because, you know, it's not God's job to make my life comfortable or to make my life safe. Yet God does promise a blessed life of peace and joy and love. But that's if we accept the invitation that Jesus offers, the invitation to become a follower, not just a fan, but a follower of Jesus, not one who just comes and listens to the sermon and says, that ain't bad. But it's one who accepts a way of living, because what Jesus is offering is a path to peace and love and joy, but it's a way of life. It's not just a Christmas wish list. Asking, seeking, and knocking is part of the invitation that Jesus is offering today. And so today, we're going to examine how these verses, I'm going to call it ask, seek, knock, over and over, how these things, ask, seek, knock, serve the primary theme and purpose of the Sermon on the Mount. These three things serve that purpose. They're not kind of standalone things. They're serving the purpose of the main message, the theme, and the purpose of the Sermon on the Mount. And so what is the theme? We've talked about it week after week. It's defining, the theme is to define discipleship. Or another way to put it is, are you a follower of Jesus? Because if you are, then your righteousness, he calls it righteousness, will surpass that of the Pharisees. And if it doesn't, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. That's what it says in Matthew 5:17. Right off the bat, he describes the theme of the Sermon on the Mount. Following Jesus, becoming a follower of Jesus, meant wholehearted obedience, as opposed to what the Pharisees did, and they were great at it. But what they were about was about judgmental, religious, loophole legalism. They could find a loophole in any law that God wrote, and that's what they were really good at. And that's the theme, but the purpose, the purpose of that theme is to transform us into followers who would be just like their rabbi, that we would be just like Jesus by putting his teachings into practice. We're on a program. We're involved in a program. Jesus, it's the Jesus program. And when you're finished, when you graduate from this program, you'll be a follower of Jesus. And then if the question was asked, WWJD, what would Jesus do? We could say, well, what would Steve do? Or what would Emily do? Or what would Jeanette do? Because they're all followers of Jesus and they're just like him. That's the purpose of the Sermon on the Mount. So today we're going to look at and see how the Sermon on the Mount could radically change your prayer life and how prayer impacts our transformation. So to set the stage for these four verses that we've just listened to, we're going to check out some previous highlights, I'm going to call them, of the Sermon on the Mount. First of all, Jesus explained how wholehearted followers were different than loophole legalists. The loophole legalists did stuff, they just checked the box. And he has a whole section on this in chapter 5. And he's giving examples of how to really follow God's instructions. And these examples all start out with the phrase, you've heard that it was said, and then he'd say something. And he said, but I say to you, and so he gives seven different examples. Now his chapter 7 instructions, ask, seek, knock, they relate directly to these previous examples that he's given throughout the sermon. Ask, seek, knock. They're very important for us being able to really follow the instructions. So let me ask you in this case, do you think that ask, seek, knock relates to the teaching that he gave in chapter 5? For instance, do you think prayer has anything to do with the teaching and our ability to eliminate lust, not just curb it, eliminate lust, divorce, to eliminate divorce, to eliminate anger, to eliminate deceitfulness? Because this is what Jesus is calling us to do. And I don't know about you, but I can't do that by myself. I need help. So that's where ask, seek, knock come in. It relates to this previous teaching. He told us, you need to pray for your enemies. Do you need help when it comes to praying for your enemies? Because I do. God says, if you need help, ask, seek, knock. So in that case, here's how the prayer might go. You'd say, God, I'm struggling. I have a grudge and I can't let it go. I don't really want to pray for my enemy, but I want to. And so we ask, and then God comes in and helps. He gives us what we ask for, the help to pray for our enemy. This is how this ask, seek, knock thing is going to work. So in chapter 6, he taught us that it's wrong to do good deeds and acts of worship just so people will think well of you. That's wrong. Don't do that. Now, I'm a people pleaser. And so I struggle with that instruction. Now, I don't want to have bad motives for doing good things. I don't want that, but I need help. So do you think that if I ask God to help me with my people-pleasing problem, that he'll give me the help that I ask for? Because what I need is a new attitude, and I need some help. We recently discussed the part of the sermon where Jesus says, if your worldview is generous, then your soul will be full of light. But if your worldview is stingy, then your soul will be full of darkness. And mainly on that section, he was saying that you have to choose who your master is going to be. Is your master going to be money, or is your master going to be God? Because you can't have it both. You can't have both ways. And then immediately after that, this teaching goes on to say, here's the bottom line. Do not worry. Now, he's given me all these teachings. He set the bar pretty high for me to be a follower. So do you think that prayer could play a role in shaping my worldview? Yeah. Ask, seek, knock. About what? About my worldview. about how I need to change, about how I need to be transformed. Do you think the invitation to ask, seek, and knock could have anything to do with the way that worry impacts your life? Maybe none of you worry. Sometimes I think I worry enough for all of you. But for me, I need help with my worry problem. And so Jesus says, ask, seek, knock. And it's in that context that he's giving us these instructions about prayer. He gave us instructions on what we should be doing about worrying about our stuff. We should be doing something else instead of worrying about our stuff. This is in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Instead of worrying about your stuff and not having enough, he said, what you should do is seek, ask, seek, knock. You should seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. About 2 weeks ago, we talked about this principle that when I seek, that means I focus and I chase after. When I seek his kingdom, then his kingdom becomes what I want. This is the principle of heart transformation. This principle is at the heart of transformation. The idea, well, I'm going to quote it straight from 2 weeks ago. It'll be right there on your screen. It says, as you seek his kingdom, your appetite changes. You begin to desire different things. This is what happens when you seek his kingdom. But I have problems seeking his kingdom. That's why I need to ask for help. So in today's reading, we hear him say, ask, seek, knock. So how does this new appetite, because my appetite's changing because I'm seeking first his kingdom, how does this new appetite, how does that impact my prayer? How does it impact the things I ask for in prayer? My appetite is changing. I'm becoming a different person. And my transformed appetite changes what I ask for in prayer. Reading these verses in this context, suggests to me that I need to adjust my prayer list. I think we all need to think about that. Reading these verses, ask, seek, knock, in the context of the whole sermon, suggests to me that I need to adjust my prayer list. Now, this does not mean I'm going to quit praying for healing, because the Bible definitely instructs us to pray for the sick. But there's a new section in my prayer. I'm going to say I have a new agenda in my prayer time because I'm adding some things that maybe I didn't previously pray for. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to acknowledge my need to grow, my need to be transformed and changed as a follower of Jesus. I want to sit with God and ask and seek and knock regarding something very specific. And the specific thing is, I'm going to ask and seek and knock, sitting with God in prayer. I'm going to ask about the way I follow Jesus and the way I put these teachings into practice, because I need help, and that's what I'm going to ask for. I might need help in lots of other areas in my life, but right now, this sermon, he's talking about being a follower of Jesus, and we don't have what it takes to be a follower of Jesus, so he says, ask. I'll help you with your problem with lust. I'll help you with your problem with having a stingy worldview. I'll help you with your problem with worry. So ask. That's what I'm going to do. So one example of how this might look, drum roll, is the Lord's Prayer. What do you know? Right there in the sermon. I need to use the Lord's Prayer as a template for my daily prayer time. The Lord's Prayer, what is it about? I ask for daily bread. I don't worry about the future. I ask for daily bread. I ask for the bread I need for today. I don't worry about the future. I might plan for the future. I might do things today that impact my future, but I'm not going to worry because I'm going to ask for daily bread and trust that I'll receive what I need for today. I'm going to ask for forgiveness. And I'm going to ask that I become a forgiving person. I need forgiveness, but I also need to become a, a forgiving person. This is in the Lord's Prayer. So I'm going to pray the Lord's Prayer. Ask, seek, knock. I'm going to ask for spiritual guidance and for spiritual protection. That's in the Lord's Prayer. Lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from evil. I'm asking for spiritual guidance. Show me the way, God. So these things in the Lord's Prayer are definitely going to be part of my ask, seek, and knock prayer focus. Because the Lord's Prayer, what it's doing, it's calling God to be my partner in the transformation process. I can't do it on my own. I need help. My goal is not to make all my life simple and easy and safe and comfortable. My goal is to become a follower of Jesus, and I need help, so I'm going to ask for help. Becoming a follower of Jesus changes the focus of my thought life. Now, this is key here. My thought life is going to change as I become a follower of Jesus, and it's going to strongly impact my attitude about prayer. It's going to change my prayer list. So for me, an example of this, I was the dean of students for almost 5 years at ACU. I had a master's degree in education administration. I had a doctor's degree in education, higher ed administration. I was trained for this position. I was focused. I was learning all I could. I was in charge of the residence halls, the social clubs. I was in charge of chapel. I was in charge of disciplining the students. And so all these things, I was very focused in learning more about my job, doing more, learning more, going to conferences, reading books, listening to webinars, different kinds of things to be the best I could at my job. And then I became the head coach, the football head coach. And all of a sudden, my thought life changed. I was not thinking about what's going on in the residence halls anymore. I was not thinking about student discipline anymore. I was thinking about what kind of offense are we going to run. I was thinking about how could I get my guys to be stronger and run faster. I was thinking about recruiting. I had a whole different thought life. And this is what happens when you become a follower of Jesus. Your whole thought life changes. And so instead of asking, seeking, knocking about ways that I can, you know, benefit, I'm hurting and I need some comfort, you know, I need a new job, you know, I need more stuff. I'm not worried about those kind of things anymore. I'm going to seek first God's kingdom, and that's what I'm going to pray about. That's going to fill up my prayer life. Here's what I'm thinking. What if we became a church that was so laser focused on following Jesus that transformation became our number one goal, our top priority? And so our own transformation, us becoming like Jesus. And in doing this laser focus, the language of our prayers would change. We wouldn't pray the same prayers. I love the way we pray here at CCC. I really do. We have a heart for people. We are praying for them constantly. We're praying for God to act in miraculous ways in many people. And I love that. And I don't want to change that. But I do want to challenge you this week to spend some extra time in prayer, developing your prayer life, developing a prayer strategy that is focused on your own personal transformation, on your own following the instructions in the Sermon on the Mount. Let's just start there. Ask God to lead you in this exercise, and use the Lord's Prayer or other sections of the Sermon on the Mount. Use those as you examine what kind of follower are you? How are you dealing with anger in your life? How are you dealing with the idea of having a stingy or a generous worldview? Do you need to ask, seek, and knock? Do you need help from God in those areas? Let's focus our prayer life on that. I don't know how long you pray, but however long you pray, add that much more to it and just focus on these things in the Sermon on the Mount or just in the Lord's Prayer. And what you're doing is you're calling on God to be your partner in putting the teachings of Jesus into practice in your life. I'm going to say that again. You're calling on God to be your partner because you need help. And you need help, and I need help in putting these instructions that Jesus has given us, to putting them into practice. And so this instruction he gives us, he knows you're going to need help with not judging. He knows you're going to need some help with forgiveness. He knows you're going to need some help with worry, because we're worriers. And he says, stop it. And I say, I can't stop it. I need some help. And he says, I'm going to help you. Ask, seek, knock. I'm going to help you become just like Jesus. We're going to close with a reading of another kind of teaching on prayer. But I believe these verses in the Sermon on the Mount can change our prayer life. As we focus on gaining God's help, as we focus on the teachings of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, as God becomes our partner in transforming us, I believe that what will happen, we will experience a new level of joy, a new level of peace, a new level of love. Isn't that what we're all looking for? In this teaching, it's based on God's character, that God is good, that he is a good father, and that he will give us what we need, not because we deserve it, but because he's our good father. Sometimes the way he answers our prayers, we don't understand. Sometimes the way he doesn't answer our prayers, we don't understand. But he has one goal, and that's to transform you, that you will be just like your rabbi and his son, Jesus. That's his goal. As he answers your prayers, that's his goal. The final scripture for today is from Paul in Philippians. And I believe this with all my heart, that God, he wants to hear all of our requests. He wants to hear everything our heart desires. Big things, small things, important things, silly things. Man, I've prayed some stupid prayers in my life, and I'm sure that God hopefully had a little smile there with mercy for me. You know, and then sometimes, like me and Garth Brooks, we thank God for unanswered prayers. But God's love is big enough to hear all of our prayers. And he wants you to give him all of your heart. So we're going to finish with this reading. I believe with all my heart that God is at work. He's at work, not necessarily to make your life comfortable, not necessarily to make your life safe or exciting even. But God is at work to make us the best selves we can be. Our best. He wants us to be our best self. He's at work. Here's Paul. Therefore, brothers and sisters, you whom I love and I long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. God, have a great week. Let's pray together right now. God, we love you, and today we ask, and we seek, and we knock, that you join us, that you partner with us on our journey to become just like your son, Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.